listening to the Tennis.com podcast. And here's your host, Ed McGrogan.
Welcome back, everyone, to another edition of the Tennis.com podcast. Catching up again with Steve Tigner. I'm Ed McGrogan. And Steve, we've entered, you know, after a month of pretty relatively quiet tournaments, no shortage of tournaments by any means. But we're in, that includes Monte Carlo, Stuttgart, among others. But now when May arrives, you really get that push to the French Open. It's a pretty big push. There's really no slowdown from start to finish, and we kick it off with Madrid, and there's, been quite a bit to talk about already.
Yeah, it suddenly picks up. It's everybody's at this tournament, all the seeds, everybody on the women's side, pretty much everybody but Novak Djokovic on the men's. You can kind of get a feel for how much tennis there is to be played in a short amount of time, that Djokovic would take this tournament off, one of the year's biggest, because he feels like he's going to get enough next week in Rome and then 2 weeks in Paris. There's enough upcoming that he can even take this week off, and probably is right to do it.
Yeah, I when that was mentioned, I did forget that Djokovic he didn't even play in Madrid last year as well, so it was very prudent from sort of a rankings point perspective. Though he had a lot to gain, he wouldn't have anything to lose, which is really almost just as important, if not more so at times. So that is a smart, I think a pretty fair move by Djokovic there to leave the hard lifting to Rome and Roland Garros. In Madrid here, like you said, everybody else has arrived, but a lot of the bigger players have actually already, quite a few have actually already fallen already. This is Monday when we're recording this, just after play finishes on the women's side. And before we even got going in the week here, we had Simona Halep going down in a pretty big upset. I mean, I think at this point with Halep, we've really put her in, I think, certainly the uppermost echelon aside from Serena Williams. And she goes down to Elise Cornet in her opening match. Certainly, this is not a typical first round opponent. You're not going to see Cornet first round in a Grand Slam, for example. But this is what you get when in Madrid. And I think Ion Tyriac has often said, he's talked about how even in his ventures to try to build this up as, almost a fifth slam type of event, he's always talked about how he loves the fact that it's just the 32 best or 64 best from each tour, and you get these great matchups right away, and this is what happens sometimes.
Yeah, he's always been big on keeping the draw small. Of course, he also wants this tournament to be the biggest, one of the biggest. But yeah, you get the women's draw, especially a 64 draw with no buys. The men have 8 buys. The 8 top seeds get buys, but nobody gets a buy in the women's, and that's what happened to Halep. And Cornet is a tough first round. That's a third round match at a Grand Slam to play Cornet. But Halep, she was the bright spot outside of Serena on the women's tour this spring. She's had two kind of, I guess you would say, disappointing matches in a row now. When she came into the clay season, it looked like she could really challenge for the French Open title. She made the final there last year. That looks like this is her best surface. She made the final in Madrid. But she really got worn down, I thought, against Wozniacki. And then against Cornet, I felt like she pressed a little too much. I feel like she went for her shots, which is what you want to do, but she almost overdid that, and Cornet played well, but it almost just makes it seem to me like Halep will always have, at her size, not being big and not being able to serve somebody off the court or hit somebody off the court, it's always going to be a fine line for her to play offensively but not to overplay. And I think that's something she'll always have to find that balance. It was the same with Justine Henin. She could do the same thing, overplay a little in trying to press the issue, because she felt like she couldn't really play. She didn't want to play defense all the time.
Yeah, and I think also it's worth saying, about Cornet, and you know, you and I certainly agree on her caliber and, you know, where she falls into a draw like this. Cornet, I think, is, you know, kind of a quintessential big match player and really has trouble in Prosperity, because when we've bestowed some expectation on her, when she has had, you know, higher seeds, she's really kind of fallen apart, you know, not only on the, you know, not only sort of in the game, really the emotional side of things as well. That's pretty well documented if you trade in Twitter and all that, and that about her. But she gets another, you know, very big win here. She's beat Serena pretty recently in the past a couple times. And for Halep, defending French Open finalist, I guess the concern, you know, to me, this is not a great result, of course. It would be really concerning if Rome doesn't also turn out, you know, well for her in after going down to Wozniacki, you know, previous week. I do think her successful march definitely has that, you know, I think she got some currency, got some money to play with, in terms of really just dispelling what was kind of a downward slide after the Australian Open. That loss to Makarova really seemed to kind of anger her, and I think it you know, really got the critics kind of talking about where Halep really stands. But I think it's a pretty big month overall coming up for her. You know, like I said, she's proven herself on clay before, but I do think these are pretty important weeks coming up as we kind of see where Halep settles in the firmament of the tour here.
I think that's true. Also, just going back to Cornet, like you say, she can't handle Prosperity, it seems, because she's already lost her next match. She lost to Vinci today. So, you know, that was a good prediction. If you didn't know that happened, it's proven to be true that she couldn't follow up that big win. But you know, I think Halep will be fine. I guess you look now for somebody who can challenge Serena right away, because Sharapova's had some struggles. Like, you know, we're looking for somebody, so you look to Halep next. And you know, maybe it's not fair to think of her as, can she be the next Justine Henin? You know, she's not there yet, obviously. But we're looking for somebody like that, and I think that's the person you turn to now. So it's a little, so you maybe expect a little more from her.
Well, maybe the person who can challenge Serena right away will be her very next opponent in this draw. And I know that's a little bit of a diversion from where you're going with that, but in some respects, we've been assuming Victoria Azarenka can win her second round match over Tomjanovic. She'll play Serena in the third round of this draw. This, you know, like we go back to what I said about Tyriac and how this draw materialized. The top quarter of this tournament is unbelievably loaded with talent here. Serena, you know, just beat Sloane Stephens. You know, there's a lot of great unseeded players, which is part of the reason that Sloane Stephens, Azarenka, both unseeded. First round, you had Azarenka beating Venus Williams. First of all, you know, maybe let's start with that, and then we can go a little further there. I mean, you know, I have to say, from what we've been kind of wondering where Vika kind of shakes out after, you know, getting some tournaments back, some time back on the tour, and I think overall it's been a pretty good year so far, you know, considering what you know, what the expectations were.
Yeah, you feel like she really needs to be seeded at this point. She's coming in and playing good players early at a lot of these tournaments. The Australian Open, she had Wozniacki. Here she had Venus in the very first round. It was unfortunate for Venus. She got off to a slow start. It looked like she just wasn't quite ready to be at that level. She lost the first set. She got better in the second set, but not fast enough. Azarenka got a little nervous in the second, but held on, which I think was a good sign for her. She's lost a bunch of times to Venus in the past. Azarenka's sort of been slowly making her way back. That's a good win for her. I feel like I was just saying, the tour is looking for somebody to challenge Serena. Vika is obviously somebody who's done that. And I keep saying that she'll be back in the top five someday. It's taken a little longer for her to get back to where she could be seated than I thought it would. But But her game looks good, and she looks determined again. None of the distractions from the last or injuries from the last year, and you know that'll be, I would assume now that she'll play Serena, and that you know that'll be an interesting match.
Yeah, I mean when we've you know the Azarenka Serena past has been a very compelling past, and you know somewhat interrupted by injury, by you know both of these players really have rarely gotten through long stretches of their career without significant injury. You know, Azarenka most recently, but that may you know that could be one of really the big you know takeaways from an event like this. You know, a few weeks from now, we're going to probably really, you know, Madrid is going to be firmly in the rearview mirror. It's really going to be kind of reset once we get to the French Open. And, you know, seeing what a player like Azarenka can do in an event like this, you know, she can, you know, like you say, there's a lot of ranking points to be gained by her, and probably pretty important if she, you know, really aims to kind of have success not only at the French, but at Wimbledon, since it's not that far away from each other. And, you know, should Azarenka, you know, play Serena, play her well, perhaps even beat her here, it would be, you know, it would be the first loss Serena even takes on the year. So I think there's a tremendous bit of interest in this match that may happen, hopefully does happen.
Yeah, you know, Azarenka hasn't done that well on clay in the past. She's been to the final of this. She's been to the semis of the French, but not as well as you might think she would. I think she could be better on this surface. You know, I think there's a lot there for her to gain going through this spring. You know, hard courts have always been her where she's played her best, but I think there's no good reason I can think that she can't be successful on clay, and this could be a good stretch for her. That said, I feel like Serena, the two matches I've seen of her in Madrid, looks, if anything, pretty dialed in, pretty taking this idea of being undefeated and not wanting to lose a first match, you know, maybe taking it pretty seriously. She looks like she's not, there haven't been any hiccups or problems so far. So beating her, you know, Azarenka beating Serena, no matter what, how well she's playing, is a big step.
What else have you seen thus far from Madrid, both on, you know, either on the women's side or the men's side? There's obviously this is a pretty good tournament if you really just want to kind of sit back and veg out from morning until late afternoon, because this, you know, in traditional Spanish, you know, fashion, this one kind of runs late over there, and it means it runs on a pretty nice clip here in the U.S. Goes pretty much all day, and like I said, there's a lot of good matches really on both sides.
Yeah, from an American point of view, when it comes to European clay, we have to mention the wins we can get them. Isner, Querrey, and Steve Johnson all won matches today. We may not be able to say that again in the next couple of days, but should mention it now. But also, Isner is near Federer in that part of the draw. Federer could also play Nick Kyrgios in the first round, and then he could play Isner after that. That could be interesting. Isner has shown some life this spring, and we know he's done well on clay in 2 out of 3 set matches in the past.
And he's beat Federer on clay in best 3 out of 5, in fact.
Beat Federer on clay, and then there's another American, Jack Sock, who's had a pretty good run recently. He'll play Pablo Andujar in Madrid. So maybe these first few days are a chance to mention at least the Americans on clay, you know, in Madrid.
For you know, that's another strong quarter of the draw. Really, it's this top quarter as well on the men's side. This is where number one seed Roger Federer is, as you pointed out, I think in your preview, it's really kind of a time warp, because it's been a long time since we have been able to say that in a Masters tournament. Now, of course, Federer was clearly the number one seed where he won this past week in Istanbul. That's not any huge surprise. Federer, on the rare occasion he does dabble in some of these lower level tournaments, you can usually expect him to win. He did that. he did that in the past, actually in Estoril, I remember. And then, you know, opposite Federer, like you said, he could play Kyrgios pretty early. I think that's perhaps in danger only because Kyrgios plays a good clay player in Jimeno Traver, and Kyrgios is coming off a long run of his own this past week in Estoril. All that to say, really, that Kyrgios, you know, a pretty nice week for him. He goes down to Gasquet in the final, but puts together really actually the best probably tour week of his young career thus far.
Yeah, that was an important week for him. Kyrgios has played
yeah,
well.
And this is someone that, now I think of it, you mentioned quite early on in this week, before Estoril began, is really a potential opportunity here.
Yeah, he hadn't really done much at smaller tournaments. He seemed to be only focused in on he'd been to two Grand Slam quarterfinals, but hadn't won a match at a 250 level event, which is obviously the opposite of the way most players develop. But that's the way Kyrgios has done it. But he showed that he can. You know, he won some close matches. He made the final of a clay court tournament. That's kind of, you know, a solid week on tour for a guy like that, for, you know, to go out, grind it out in a smaller event and on a different surface than what we know he can play on. So that, I think that's a solid sort of professional effort from him. But you're right, he'll have a tough match against Jimeno Traver in the first round. For Federer, I feel like that win in Istanbul, I think that was a good win for him. He played some close matches against guys he would normally beat badly, so you feel like his form was off. But by the end, you know, if he lost one of those, you sort of question what kind of confidence and form he has coming to Madrid, and really what his clay court season is going to be like. He's already talked about how he might not play Rome. You know, what would happen in Madrid? You know, obviously his main focus is after the French Open is Wimbledon. But I feel like that win is a good one, which will do good things for him at Madrid. Madrid is a tournament that he likes. He hasn't been the first seed here since 2010, like you said, but he's won it three times. He won it in 2012. I was on blue clay, but he's won it other times. He beat Rafa here. So this is a tournament that he's done well. He has a somewhat of a tough draw, but I feel like that win in Istanbul, I think that's a good one for him.
Yeah, the way the men's draw did shake out is that Federer and Nadal are on one side of the draw as the one and the three seed. And with Djokovic not playing, you do get, I think, the possibility for kind of a big sort of breakthrough type of event for, you know, a number of players on the other half of the draw that will only have to beat, you know, one of those, you know, big three players there. You know, just as surprising as Roger Federer seeing the one next to his name, I think even more surprising in a clay Masters is seeing Andy Murray, the number two. To see Murray ranked above Nadal is just almost comical when you think about it, but it's obviously, you know, there's no subjective seating here. Nishikori, the four, Raonic, the five, David Ferrer, the seven. To me, it's going to be kind of just as interesting to see really who takes advantage of this tournament because, you know, like we've said, assuming, you know, Federer pulls out of Rome, and I fully expect that because, you know, not only is he playing this, but he did win, you know, the week before in Estoril. We're not going to get that full tournament of all the players until Roland Garros.
Yeah, that's true. We'll see who, you know, I'm looking at, you know, I also thought that Murray was a strange second seed, but he just won his first clay court tournament of his career this weekend in Munich. I don't know what that means for him coming forward. That might even hurt his chances in Madrid because he's going to be tired and he has to play the same. He might have to play the same player he played in the final there, Philipp Kohlschreiber. But he did win a clay court event, so that's something. That's something for Murray. You know, he's made himself, you know, worth watching now through the clay season for sure. And also, I think this is a big tournament for Kei Nishikori. He really should have won this tournament last year. He was beating Rafa in the final when he hurt himself. And he's battling with Rafa for the number four seed at the French. This just seems like a tournament, and he's got a good. He's on a good side of the draw with Murray and Ferrer and Raonic. He avoids Rafa and Federer. So I think this is a big opportunity for Nishikori.
Yep, fantastic. Fantastic as we move along here. And yeah, for Madrid, we'll have actually reports every day from Steve through the weekend on the site. You know, I think once there's a lot to digest, especially in these opening rounds where, like I said, wall-to-wall coverage. And we'll keep that going along through the week here on tennis.com. And tune in again with us in the podcast next week on Monday, of course. And until then, for Steve Tigner, I'm Ed McGrogan. Thank you for listening to the Tennis.com podcast.
You've been enjoying the Tennis.com podcast. For all the latest news and events, head over to Tennis.com.